Hi, welcome back to Joe Blogs. In this video, I want to talk to you about the employment rates in Russia. Because if you've been following the data, you'll have seen that Russia have been publishing monthly statistics on the number of people employed and unemployed. And remarkably, the figures have held up incredibly well. In fact, they've been improving over the last few months. And that seems counterintuitive when you think about the amount of sanctions that are being applied against Russia right now, the number of companies who have left Russia. A lot of international companies have either closed their operations or they've closed them down temporarily, or they've decided that they're no longer investing any money at all in Russia. So that should indicate that we would see a reduction in employment. And in addition to the companies who have left Russia, we've also got the impact of the sanctions. The fact that nobody in the West is now looking to buy any products from Russia, a lot of companies have stopped trading entirely with their Russian counterparts. So you would have expected that we would have seen a significant reduction in employment and a big rise in unemployment, but we haven't seen that at all. So in today's video, I want to go through the figures. We'll have a look at the official stats that have been released by Russia. We'll look at employment, we'll look at population, we'll look at unemployment levels. We'll then talk about furlough and part-time working, because one of the things that we learned from the COVID-19 pandemic is that governments have means and ways of getting through times of extreme crisis. And you can massage the figures and you can do things that keep people ticking over without making them unemployed. So we'll talk about that concept. We'll talk about what happened in COVID and we'll talk about what's going on in Russia right now. I'll then give you a live example of Lada, the Russian car manufacturer, who you may remember were a bit of a joke back in the 1980s. They had these really square cars that nobody really liked, quite unreliable. They've improved quite a lot since then, Lada. But I'll talk about what's going on with Lada, because the automotive sector in Russia has been heavily impacted by the war. And so there's been a massive reduction in both demand and output. So we'll look at what's going on with Lada and what furlough schemes they've employed. I'll then talk about the level of employment directly by the state in Russia, because it's higher than in most countries because of its history. And then finally today, I'll wrap up with my summary, so what I think is actually going on right now in Russia and what the impact of all of this is for the Russian economy and the global economy. So before we get started, as usual, I'm going to ask you for a thumbs up at some point during this video if you're enjoying the content. Please subscribe if you haven't done so already. Don't forget, I always include chapters so you can skip through things if you haven't got time to watch everything. And if you'd like to support the channel, please have a look below where you'll find links to YouTube's Super Thanks and membership, as well as Buy Me a Coffee and Patreon. In order to put things into perspective, I thought it was worth looking at the population of Russia. And you can see that in 2021, the official population of Russia was just over 145 million people. And you can see from the chart that the population actually peaked in 2017 at around 147 million and has been declining steadily over the last 5 years. This chart shows the official number of people employed in Russia as published by the Russian Federal State Statistics Service. At the end of December 2021, which was obviously the period prior to the start of the Ukraine war, 72.5 million people were employed. Interestingly, the number of people employed dropped by 1 million in January 22. Now, the invasion of Ukraine didn't actually start until the 24th of February, so there was no impact in January from the war itself. And you can see that the level of employment in January was significantly lower than it was throughout the previous six-month period. Employment rose by 200,000 people in February and then fell to 71.4 million in March, which was the first full month after the invasion started. If you've been following the channel, you'll be aware that as soon as the war started, overseas companies from the West started to exit their operations and repatriated a lot of their staff. So it's logical that we would have seen a fall in employment in that month. But what is surprising from this graph is that there was a bounce back in employment in April. The official number of people recorded as working in April was 71.9 million, a rise of 500,000 compared to March. And the reason that this is so surprising is that a lot of sanctions were applied against Russia immediately. So by the end of April, we had 2 months worth of sanctions that were starting to feed through into the Russian economy. The West had stopped trading with Russia, so there was a fall in demand for any products that were exported from Russia. And they'd also stopped exporting goods to Russia. So any Russian companies who were involved in the import trade, i.e. bringing things into Russia, would have seen a big fall in workload because they wouldn't have been able to access those products anymore. So given both of those factors, you would have expected April to see a continuation of the trend we saw in March, where employment was falling, but it actually started to increase. If we then move forward to May, the economy in Russia has suffered another full month of sanctions, so this is hardship, But employment stayed at exactly the same level, 71.9 million. And the official figure for June shows that employment actually rose to 72 million, which again is very surprising given the fact that official data from Russia shows that GDP actually fell by 4% in the quarter ending June. So we saw a contraction in the economy. This is at a time when the sanctions have been in place for over 4 months. So we would have started to see a lot of pain from a business perspective. A lot less trade was being done with Russia over that period. But despite all of these factors, the official employment figures for June show that employment increased to 72 million and was actually 500,000 higher than it was in January 22 before the Ukraine war started. This table shows the employment rate, which is the percentage of the Russian population in employment. And you can see that this chart follows a very similar pattern to the chart we've just looked at in terms of the official employment figures. At the end of December, the official employment rate was 60%. That figure fell to around 59.5% in January, which was around 1 month before the Ukraine war started. We saw a slight increase in the percentage in February and then a fall to 59% in March. We saw an increase to 59.7% in April and then a further increase in May and June to 59.8%. So as we've just discussed, these figures look unusual given what's going on in Russia right now. You would have expected the percentage employment rate to be falling consistently beyond February because of the mass exodus of overseas companies and the impact of the sanctions which are hurting the Russian economy. The official statistics say that the GDP in Russia for the quarter ended June fell by 4%. However, employment has increased in that period. This table shows the number of unemployed people in Russia as published by the Russian Federal State Statistics Service. This time 12 months ago, 3.4 million people were unemployed in Russia. The official figure had reduced to 3.2 million at the end of December, but increased again to 3.3 at the end of January. Now, just as a reminder, the invasion of Ukraine started on the 24th of February, so the January figures are entirely unaffected. In February, the official number of unemployed people fell by 200,000 to 3.1 million. It remained at 3.1 million in March. It then fell further to 3 million in April. It fell further again to 2.9 million in May and then rose back to 3 million in June. So once again, these figures are quite unexpected. Just as a reminder, this is the number of unemployed people. So a higher number means more unemployed people and the lower number means less unemployed people. So the shape of this graph overall from July 21 through to May 22 is a reduction in the number of unemployed people. And a reduction in the number of unemployed people usually indicates a strong economy, a growing economy, an increase in the number of jobs available, and therefore more people take jobs and less people are unemployed. So it's not what you would have expected. We would have expected that from February onwards, there should have been a sharp increase in the number of unemployed because of what's going on, because we've seen a lot of companies leaving Russia and we've seen a lot of sanctions applied against Russia. That would indicate less trade, less business, therefore less employment and higher unemployment. But that's not what we've seen. And if we look at the figure for June, it's increased by 100,000 people between May and June. But the figure of 3 million is actually lower than any other month on this chart apart from May 2022. So it's showing that the Russian economy is actually in the best shape that it's been in for the last 12 months. Compared with this time last year, in Russia, there are now officially 400,000 less unemployed people. But that doesn't really balance to the official figures that we've seen coming out of Russia of a 4% fall in the quarter ending June 2022. We're seeing a significant reduction in the economy. However, the unemployment rates are the best that they've been for 12 months. This chart shows the percentage unemployment rate in Russia as released by the Federal State Statistics Service. In June 21, 4.5% of the population were unemployed. That figure had reduced to 4.3% by December 21, increased to 4.4% in January, and then decreased significantly to 4.1% in February, remained at 4.1% in March, fell to 4% in April, fell further to 3.9% in May, and has remained at 3.9% in June. So when you look at the last 12-month period, The current rate of unemployment in Russia is 3.9%, which is lower than it's been at any time in the last 12 months. And if we expand the graph to show the period over the last 5 years, you can see that the current rate of unemployment is the lowest it's been at any time in the last 5 years. So this indicates that the Russian economy is currently in the best position it's been at any point in the last 5 years. And if we expand the graph out to 10 years, you can see that the current rate of unemployment is the lowest it's been at any point in the last 10 years. So if you take unemployment rate as being an indicator as the strength of an economy, you would say that the Russian economy is in the best position it's been in for 10 years. And this chart shows the official rate of unemployment published by Russia since the breakup of the Soviet Union. And you can see that the current rate of unemployment at 3.9% is the lowest it's been in Russia's official history, which is very surprising given the current set of circumstances and the amount of sanctions against Russia right now. One of the things that we all learned through the COVID-19 pandemic is that there are ways and means of addressing employment and statistics to make sure that they don't look too bad. A lot of governments around the world during the COVID pandemic implemented what was known as furlough schemes. Now, I think most people had not heard of the term furlough prior to the pandemic, but it became common use. Most people are now familiar with the concept. The definition of furlough is a temporary layoff, involuntary leave, or some other modification of normal working hours without pay for a specified duration. Businesses use furloughs for a variety of reasons, such as plant shutdowns, or when a broad reorganisation makes it unclear which employees will be retained. So that's how furlough used to operate. But what we saw during the COVID pandemic was a lot of employers put their staff onto furlough. So they said that you don't have to come to work, you don't have to do anything, you're not working from home, you're on furlough, you're on indefinite leave. But during the pandemic, most companies paid their employees. So they actually paid them to go home and do nothing. Apart from the fact that there was a pandemic going on, this was actually a great time to be an employee because you got fully paid to sit home watching Netflix and doing nothing. Now, not everybody got paid the full amount. Some people got a percentage of their wage. And the longer that the pandemic went on, the more the schemes got diluted. So it might have been that people were getting paid 70% or 60% or 50%, but they were still being paid something for doing nothing, to be retained on the workforce. And the reason that companies did that, firstly, they wanted to reward the staff. Secondly, they wanted to retain their staff. So they needed to make sure that when the pandemic finished, they could bring everybody back into the workplace and get back up and running again. And thirdly, a lot of those schemes were being sponsored by the governments all around the world. So the governments were paying money to the companies and the companies were passing that money on to the employees. So these were state-sponsored schemes predominantly to keep everybody happy, to keep everybody ticking over, and also to keep the unemployment rate down because officially all these people were still on the books. They were still employed by those companies. They weren't turning up to work every day and putting in a shift, but they were still employed. So therefore, they weren't being added to the unemployment register. And that's really one of the things I wanted to talk about today, because that's what's going on in Russia right now. A lot of staff are being furloughed. So they're still showing as being employed and they're not being added to the unemployment numbers. The other method that a lot of companies used to address their staff during the time of the pandemic was to put people onto part-time working hours. So this reduced the number of hours that they were officially employed. Therefore, it meant that they didn't have to be paid as much, but they still were retained as employees. So they still made it onto the company registers. They didn't get put onto the unemployment register. And again, that's something that's happening in Russia right now. A lot of staff are being told that they're not needed. They're being put into part-time working hours. Their hours are being reduced. So again, it stays on the employment register, not on the unemployment register. In order to put some colour onto this story, I wanted to share some numbers I've got for Lada, the Russian car manufacturer. Historically, Lada has worked with Renault, the French automotive company. But following the invasion of Ukraine, Renault exited from Russia, so Lada is now a standalone entity. Sales volumes for Lada have fallen by 63% in the first 7 months of 2022 to only 85,000 vehicles. And it's reported that in June, the company is working on a new stripped-down version of its cars without features such as remote keyless control or air conditioning, which rely on imported components. Production of the Lada brand was halted in March due predominantly to the lack of supplies as a result of the Western sanctions. Lada employs 42,000 workers in Russia and has not laid off any of them. It's reported that all of the staff have been put onto a furlough scheme and are being paid around two-thirds of their original wages. Lada is now looking to consolidate the number of plants that it operates and is offering some workers one-off payments to quit. It's reported that workers who are normally paid around $750 per month are being offered deals of around $3,500 to quit their jobs. And it's really interesting that they're being asked to quit because, again, if you resign, then you may not be recorded as officially unemployed. In response to the situation, the president of the Lada plant that is being closed down stated, "In the current situation of sanctions pressure and of growing number of variables, we are taking comprehensive measures to maintain employment," which indicates that they're doing as much as they can to make sure that people do not get officially recorded as unemployed. A professor of economics at Moscow's New Economics School said the automotive sector's struggles were being masked by hidden unemployment, where workers were not laid off, but instead placed on indefinite furlough. He said he expected unemployment to rise towards the end of the year, when he said it would likely become clear that sanctions were unlikely to be lifted in the near future. In Russia, economic crises don't tend to produce mass unemployment because of the specifics of the Russian labour market, like the furlough practice. In response to the record low 3.9% unemployment figures in June, the economy minister stated, "I think that in autumn we will move away from these record low numbers, but let's not over-dramatise. The situation is under control." Officially, 236,000 Russian workers are either on furlough or reduced hours at the end of July, according to the Deputy Prime Minister. About half of all air traffic controllers, or around 14,000 people, have been furloughed or put on part-time work. And companies such as Swedish furniture giant IKEA and Spanish fashion chain Zara have also furloughed their staff. But in terms of putting this into perspective and to continue with the discussion on the automotive sector, around 400,000 people were employed in Russia in 2020 in the automotive sector, and there are around 10 times that number of workers, so around 4 million, depending indirectly on the sector. So if we see a big fall in the sector, which is exactly what we're seeing because the sector can't get hold of the parts to keep itself moving, then we could see mass unemployment starting to unfold in Russia. So what's the summary and conclusion today? Well, I wanted to post this video because I think a lot of the statistics that we see coming out of Russia are slightly confusing. You see things like the official unemployment rate being the lowest it's ever been in Russia's history. And that gives you an indication that the economy is doing really well. Without any of the war discussion, you would think that this is a boom time for the Russian economy, that this is the best time ever. Well, clearly it isn't. It's impossible to continue as normal when a lot of your supply chains and a lot of companies that you've been working with over the last 30 years have stopped overnight. Russia is unable to access a lot of parts and components and essential equipment that it needs to construct a whole lot of different things in the country. And in addition to the loss of components, they're also suffering from a loss of demand because a lot of the Western countries no longer want to buy anything from Russia. And they're struggling to be able to import goods which feed their own economy. So we've got a really big problem for the Russian economy right now. And we're seeing that feed through. We saw the official statistics for quarter two, which showed that there was a 4% contraction in GDP. And if you've been following the channel, you'll know that I recently posted a number of videos talking about how reliable the figures are coming out of Russia, whether or not they're cherry-picking some of these statistics to make the situation look better than it actually is. And I think the unemployment figures are a prime example here. It doesn't make any sense at all. It's completely illogical to say that unemployment is now at its lowest level ever in Russia at a time when they've lost a massive amount of business. They've stopped trading with half of the developed world, and that's going to have a massive impact on both the Russian economy and Russian employment rates and unemployment rates. And of course, when a lot of people then become unemployed, they become more reliant upon the state. It puts more pressure on the Russian economy, and you get a really vicious circle. Now, one of the interesting things here is that Russia does employ a lot more people directly by the state than most other countries around the world. Because Russia was communist up until the early 1990s, most people were employed directly by the state. Since the early 90s, there has been an element of capitalism that's come into the Russian economy. So we've seen privatization of a variety of different sectors. and a lot of individuals have become very wealthy. A lot of the oligarchs were given companies at the time, and they've made billions and billions of dollars. So we've had a partial privatization over the last 30 years or so, but the state still employs a lot of people either directly or indirectly. So the Russian authorities still have a lot of control over who is employed and who gets paid. So that means that they're able to manage some of these figures. So they're able to put a lot of people either onto furlough or reduce their working hours to keep them officially employed and off the unemployment register. And that's exactly what's going on right now. We talked about some details from LADA, but this will be happening in all companies across Russia right now. These companies will be told to keep people on the books. They don't want mass unemployment. Russia does not want to publish statistics saying they've got double-digit rates of unemployment, because that would be seen to be a victory for the West against Russia with regards to the sanctions. So Russia's carrying on producing figures that show that there's no impact on the economy. But clearly, there is a definite impact here right now. So what we're seeing is figures that aren't really showing us the actual situation. In reality, people are being paid less in Russia, because if you're on furlough, you're not being paid the same as when you're working full time. You get a reduced amount of money. But also from a morale point of view, it's not good to have a lot of your workforce sitting around doing nothing and being paid. We saw that through the COVID pandemic. There was a lot of mental health issues. People enjoy going to work. They enjoy doing things, earning their money. They don't like being paid for doing nothing. It's great for a short period of time. And I'm sure during the COVID pandemic, we all enjoyed a period where we could kick back and relax and do nothing. But after a while, the novelty wears off and people want to get back to doing what they do. Most people enjoy the social side of work, interacting with other people, talking about things that they're experts at. It's what makes us tick. A lot of humans live for their jobs. So it's not good from a general mental health and morale point of view to have everybody sitting around doing nothing, particularly when it's self-inflicted, because the only reason that Russia's in this situation is because of the invasion of Ukraine. If it hadn't have invaded Ukraine, then the situation would have carried on as we saw at the end of 2021, when bizarrely unemployment rates were higher than they are now, which doesn't really make sense. So I wanted to post this video really to shed some light onto the statistics and just ask the question as to whether or not these are entirely reliable. From my point of view, I think there is a big question mark over these statistics. I can't believe that Russia's rate of employment is at its lowest point ever at a time when they're in economic crisis. It just doesn't stack up. It tells me that we're not seeing the real figures. And in terms of what's the impact on the Russian economy? Well, clearly, if we're seeing mass unemployment that's not being recorded, then that's going to have a devastating impact on the economy, because people have less money. And this is at a time when inflation is at around 15% in Russia. So you actually need to be earning more just to keep your standard of living at the same point. So if you're being paid less because you're unemployed or you're on furlough or you've been given part-time hours, then relatively it's going to make the cost of living even higher and it's going to reduce your standard of living. So I think what we're seeing in Russia is a lot of people have less money and the standard of living will be falling. In terms of the impact on the global economy, well, we've talked about it a lot. Russia is detaching itself from the Western world. The global supply chains are reforming. Everybody's having to find other ways of doing things. And that's going to cost more. It's putting more pressure on the global economy and is increasing the likelihood that we're heading towards a recession at some point in the next 6 months. So hopefully you found today's video useful, informative and educational. If you've liked what I've said, then please give me a thumbs up and don't forget to subscribe if you haven't done so already.